Welcome to the City View Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
Hey, good morning, good morning, good morning, City View. How you guys doing? Man, it's light today. Mother's chilling. That's good. I'm glad. That's good. Hey, I got a couple things for you. Number one, if you are a lady in here at City View Church, today what we are doing, happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there, but we realize there are some that are not moms. And so what we want to do is there's an organization called House of Refuge. House of Refuge helps women, whether they're in abusive situations or trying to get their lives back together or whatever. It's an organization that helps women, and we want to come alongside and help that organization. So for every lady that fills out this card, no matter what your age is, every lady that fills out this card, if you don't fill out this card, we're not making a donation in your name. So if you're going to be like, I don't want to do it, fine, then that means it's five less dollars that we're going to send. And so that's on you. That's on your conscience if you feel okay about that. But hey, so we've done so many different ways. This is the easiest way for us to track and be able to make this. So I would ask that you, if you don't have one of these Connect cards right now, raise your hand. We'll get you one. Fill it out, and one of our ushers will collect it. And then after we find out how many, we're going to make a $5 donation. And I don't care if your daughter's in here and she's only 10, fill one out for her. Or have her fill one out. We want to make a donation for every lady that's in here, $5. Some of you, maybe you were in here two services. You know, I'll give it to you too. But do that. We would love to. We are all about giving. And we want to love people. And we believe that God is going to do something big. And we believe in what this ministry does to help ladies. So do that. And then Tori made an announcement about Arms of Love. So next week, every penny that goes into the offering basket, every single penny that goes in the offering basket. If you give online, you're going to give two different ways next week. I give online, so that means next week I'm going to have to either bring a check. Laramie, help me remember. Either bring a check or cash, because I'm not going to stop giving to the church, but I'm behind what this organization is going to do. So next week, every dime that comes in, we are giving to Arms of Love. Last year we gave, I think it was around $5,000. And we're a new church. We're only about 3.5 years old. So for a new church, at that time we were only 2.5. To give that, you're like, how do you pay your bills? You know what? God always provides. You can't outgive God. You just can't. He always provides. And so last year we gave $5,000. I'd love to give more. I would love to see what God does and see how we can continue to bless Arms of Love, foster care. Anytime they have a need, we give. Hey, we need volunteers. We need people to help with this event. We're there. Hey, do you guys, we're short on funds for this. We're there. Hey, we don't have any Bibles for the kids going home with foster parents or whatever. So what do? We buy the Bibles. When they have a need, we try to meet the need. Our goal, we so desire to help our community make it better. This week, it was teacher appreciation. If you're a teacher, you're amazing. Teachers out there, you're amazing. So all you teachers, give it up for teachers out there. But we went and blessed Park Meadows. We bought all these fancy desserts, and we were able to just bless them because we want to reach our community. And so if you give online, that's fine. But hey, I just want to let you know, for those of you who give online, something I learned this year, when we give online, so you know how you have those credit card fees, like you go and some places like charge you a little extra when you use your debit card. Any of you have that, like where you get charged? Okay. So that happens to us as a church as well. We have a fee. Last year we paid $7,000 in fees. So like the money you gave, and that's one of the reasons why we don't, when you give online, we don't use that money because we actually don't even get all of it. We get a big percentage of it, but not like 2 point something or 3% of it. So when you give online, and I learned, the lady who oversees that, she added a new thing for us. When we give online, I'm able to click this button that says, I want to cover the fee. So now when I got on, I raised our tithe because I had gotten a raise. So I raised our tithe, and then I clicked that button, which means it went up even more, because now I'm covering that fee as well, which is, I don't even know what it is, to be honest. I clicked the button because I'm like, I don't want the church to pay for that. So if that's why we don't do the giving online. But if you give online, click that button. It would just be just so nice of you. Just letting you know on that thing. That's whether you do ACH or credit card, any of those, it's all a fee. You know, everybody's trying to get their money. So that is that. So fill out that card. We'll come and get it from you later. And then we are continuing our series, Life Hacks. And today we're looking at the idea of of hacking the idea insecurity, hacking insecurity. And we can all sort of struggle with insecurity. How many of you have ever seen on Instagram, or maybe you walked into the office and you realized you missed a party? You see on Instagram, everybody's hanging out except you. Or you walk into work and everybody's talking about they all went out and got drinks after work, and you're like, but I know I worked yesterday. And I know I left when everybody else did, but why didn't I get invited? Have you ever thought, is there something wrong with me? Why didn't I get an invite? Why didn't I get a text? And we look in and at ourselves, we think, is there something wrong? Did I do something? Have I offended them? Am I not enough to be your friend? Have I done something to lose that friendship? And then we, in life, we can struggle with this battle of, who am I? Am I enough? Do I matter? Do I matter in life? And we can struggle with those thoughts, and it's so easy to struggle with those ideas that people really don't care as much about us as we thought they did. You see, Jesus so desires each one of us to see ourselves how he sees us. That's what he hopes. He hopes that we can see ourselves like he sees us. He wants us to be able to look at the end of each day and realize that he loves us. He wants us to realize that we are someone loved and that we belong to him. He wants us to realize that we are someone, that he sees us as someone who is complete and that we believe in him. He desires that we see ourselves as someone who is becoming all that God is calling us to be. That's what God hopes, and that's what he desires for us. But so many times, what keeps us from being able to see what God sees is the shame that holds us back. Because guilt and shame will ruin us and destroy us. Because here's what shame does. Shame will make you hide. It'll make you hide from friends, from family, from everything, from reality. Shame will make you hide, but forgiveness will set you free. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you love us. And God, I ask you this morning that you'd speak to us, encourage us, strengthen us, help us to live a life, Lord, that you've called us to live. Set us free from the guilt and shame, Lord, that we can so many times come underneath. Help us to realize, Lord, you desire to give us a free life, a life that glorifies you, and a life, Lord, that you say is blessed. God, I ask that you would meet us right here and right now in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. So why do we struggle so much with our identity? Why do we struggle so much with this idea of being enough? You know, I see it all over posts, people posting, tweeting, whatever stories, I am enough. But the reality is, I'm not enough. I fail. I fall apart. I am incomplete. The only way I am enough is with Jesus. It's the only way I can have any satisfaction in life. But our world is always creeping into our mind, trying to get into our heads that you are enough. But at the end of the day, how many of you still feel like you're incomplete? You see, without Jesus, we're always going to be incomplete. We're always not going to be enough. Today, we're going to be looking at two different stories, two different garden stories in the Bible. The first one, you know, there's two stories. One starts with a perfect beginning. The other one starts with a perfect ending. What would you rather have in life? Would you rather have in life once upon a time and know that it's going to be some kind of story? Once upon a time, but then it ends and everyone died of the plague. Perfect beginning of life. You're like, oh, man, I want the perfect beginning. Or would you rather have an awful beginning, but a perfect ending, and they lived happily ever after? What would you rather have? If you had a choice right now for your life, would you rather have the perfect beginning? Because sometimes we look at our life going, I wish I could start all over. Would you rather start all over, or would you rather know that the ending will be perfect? What would you rather? You see, today we're going to be looking at two different stories, one that had the perfect beginning. It couldn't have started any better. And we're going to look at another story that couldn't have started any worse, but had the best beginning possible. If you would turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, the book of Genesis, it tells the story of how God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. by a voice, by a whisper, God created all things. I can't imagine that day. I don't know what it was like, but I know that God, by his powerful voice, he created all things. And on the sixth day, God created you and I. He created mankind. It says in verse 26, and then God said, let us, speaking of God, the Trinity of, it's a whole nother sermon topic that I'm not even going to go into. But God says, let us make man, human beings in our own image, to be like us. Now, you're going to see that I shorten things up a little bit. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth. Then God looked over all he had made, and he saw that it was decent. He saw that it was okay. He saw that it was mediocre. He saw that it wasn't that bad. But how many of you, when you look at the mirror in the morning or when you think about yourself, that's what you think, that God did a decent job? He could have done better with you. You see, at the end of the day, when God looks at you, he said, it's very good. See, we can't always see that. We look at all of our faults and failures and all of the things that we're just a hot mess for. But you see, at the end of everything, God, when he created Adam and Eve and all things, he saw that it was what? Very good. Exactly as he wanted. And evening passed and morning came, marking the sixth day. And on this day, God made Eve. How do you picture Eve? I picture her perfect. I don't know what the perfect image is for you, but I know this, she was the perfect image that God saw. She was exactly what God wanted. And I don't know what she looks like. Society has messed up what we feel a perfect woman is supposed to be. They have done so many things into our mind, I'm not even going to go. They've so many things. You see, God made her exactly as he wanted. Think about Eve. She was directly formed by God. No medical history. I went to the doctor a while back and I had to fill out that medical history. Have you ever had to fill out the medical history before? And they want everything all the way back to like grandparents, great grandparents, like, so what's wrong with you? And so you start checking the boxes. Has anybody ever had cancer? Yeah. High blood pressure. Hey, Dad, do we have any high blood pressure in our family? Yeah, son, I have high blood pressure. And your mom has high blood pressure. And your grandparents had high blood pressure. Okay, check. Glaucoma, check. This, check. Diabetes, check. Everything. I'm like, dang, what is this? I mean, is this like a, I mean, is this, is, am I answering the questions for a test or what is this? Because I'm checking every single box. It's like my family is a hot mess. And you look at that, and I'm looking at my family history going, dang. The doctor said, Jeremiah, it's not a matter of when you're going to have high, it's not a matter of if you're going to have high blood pressure, it's a matter of when you have high blood pressure, because it's in your blood. You're a hot mess. You're determined to have it. You better get in shape now. I'm like, I am in shape. It's rounded. and so Eve had no medical history. She was perfect in every way. She was the blueprint of what every woman was to be like. And then we get to chapter 3. It says in chapter 3, verse 1, the serpent was the shrewdest of all wild animals, of all the wild animals that the Lord had made. And one day he asked the woman, did you really say you must not eat? Did God really say that you must not eat from the fruit from any tree in the garden? Of course we may eat from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat it or even touch it. And if you do, you will die. So here we meet the serpent, and it says that he is the shrewdest of all wild animals. And he goes to her and he says, did God really say? He puts doubt into our mind. And I don't know about you, but I have the same serpent that speaks to my mind every day, putting questions and doubts and temptations and things that taunt me and things that whisper to me. The same serpent speaks in my ears as he did in Eve's. And he speaks these lies and these deceptions. And I'm sure we all battle with the same thing. You're not worthy. You fall short. You're a failure. You don't match up. You'll never be any. And there's these voices that speak. And so this day, Eve is having, I don't know, a perfect day in the garden, because the beginning, it was perfect. God saw everything was very good. And then it says, did God really say he questions God? And she says, no, God didn't. God said there's only one thing. He said, did God really say you can't eat from any tree? She says, no, just one. God just said one tree. He said we can't eat it and we can't touch it. Oh, no, he never said you can't touch it. You see, all of a sudden, she takes Satan's lead and she starts adding to God. She starts adding to God's word. And he said, and then Satan says there in verse 4, you won't die. The serpent replied, God knows that your eyes will be open as soon as you eat it. And you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. And the woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was good, beautiful, and its fruit looked delicious. And she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some fruit and she ate it. And then she gave some to her husband, who was also with her. And he ate it too. And at that moment, their eyes were open. And suddenly they felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. When the cool evening breeze was blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Then the Lord God called to the man, where are you? He replied, and then Adam replied, I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked. And God replied, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to? So here in chapter 3, we meet the serpent. The serpent introduces two things. He introduces lack and insecurity. He introduces lack. You're not enough. You don't have it. You don't have. God is keeping something from you. God hasn't given you everything you need. God is not going to satisfy your all those needs. And then he puts this insecurity. God hasn't told you everything. God's keeping secrets from you. You see what the serpent did? In a matter of two questions, he puts into all of mankind this idea of lack and insecurity. You see, she had no Instagram or all the stuff that she would think that, am I missing out on anything? You see, she was the walking image of perfection and beauty. She had everything you ladies or any of us in here wish we had. She had everything possible at her disposal. She had God that was there every day. She was perfect. She didn't have anybody to compare herself to. She was perfect. Yet she still found that she was insecure when she let the words of the devil penetrate her mind and her heart. In a moment, she is told that she is missing out on something, that God is keeping secrets from her. He causes her to doubt God's provision. He says, so God told you that you can't eat anything? Eve then starts adding to God's word. You see, Satan gets her to think that God is keeping her from something good, something that she needs. Do you see that? He's getting her to think that that God's keeping her from something she needs. And that's every day in our minds, where there's these thoughts, there are these things that are put in our mind that God is keeping us from something that we need. She now is no longer satisfied with God. She's got to find satisfaction outside of God. There are so many things in life that tell us we are lacking, that tell us that we're not satisfied. You know, you look at the clothing industry and social media and commercials, and they're telling us, you're not enough. You don't have this. You need this. And you don't look like this. You don't fit this kind of personality, or you don't fit this kind of style of a person. And we are told constantly that we're lacking. When God made you perfect. And we look on, but society says, I'm not. Well, who matters more, God or society? Depending on who you ask in society, one person's beautiful, the other person's ugly, and it could change on a whim. You look over culture, and it's like one style was great, and then all of a sudden another. One body type was gorgeous, and another one wasn't. You look at, you know, one body style at one point in time, it was when a woman was thicker, and then now it's like skinny as a rail, and now that's no longer attractive. So now it's, and you women are like, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to look like? And there's this constant battle because the world doesn't know what's perfect. Only God does. And when we're trying to fit the mold of the world, you're never going to fit it because it's not a mold you can fill. Jesus accomplished it all for us. God is the only one that will make you enough. In a matter of a moment, everything was changed for Adam and Eve. Their eyes were opened to something they did not need to ever know. Verse 7 says, and at that moment, their eyes were opened and they suddenly felt shame. They suddenly felt shame. They realized they were naked. They became self-aware. You know, we have this idea of being self-aware in our culture that you need to know yourself and be self, you know, all of these things. But here's the problem with being self-aware. Self-awareness born outside of God leads to self-deception of who you truly are. Self-awareness born outside of God leads to self-deception of who you truly are. Until you realize who you are in Christ, how God sees you, you will never know truly who you are. You will always fall short. You will always feel like you're lacking. You will always feel like you're not enough. You see, this self-awareness led to them feeling and changed how they saw how God saw them. It changed how they felt, how they saw each other, and how they saw themselves. It brought shame. Eating this one thing brought shame, and what does shame do? Shame will make you hide. It'll make you hide. My kids, like, it's funny, if they're not allowed to play on their electronic devices whenever they want. There are times when my wife and I will catch them on their iPads or whatever electronic device they have. And you know what their first response to do when they're not supposed to do it? Hide it. Because it's shame. Shame will make you hide. But forgiveness will set you free. That's what it does. Forgiveness sets us free. Instead of their eyes being focused on the Creator, they focused on the created. This brought the idea of not being enough. They thought they were lacking in something. This idea they were missing. They now were insecure in who they were. One extreme turns to idolatry, and the other extreme leads to pride, this insecurity and this lack of self. You see, she was perfect, but she was not complete. Eve was perfect, but she wasn't complete. She needed a Savior now. She needed a Savior. You see, when Christ is enough, you don't have to be. When Christ is enough, you don't have to be. You can let Him be enough for you. When you let Him fill you and live through you, then He can be enough for you. He's enough for your life. You realize that He can satisfy those things that you feel like are so not satisfying you. So that's the first garden. A garden that ended in death. A garden that ended in awful way. At the end of this garden story, Adam and Eve are cast out. They're expelled. They're told never to come back to the garden because of sin. It's an awful ending. The best beginning. In the beginning, God created. And at the end of the day, He said it was very good. And then just a bit later, they had to leave. But there's another garden story we find in John chapter 20. John chapter 20, there's a woman that we meet. Her name is Mary Magdalene. And if you look at the beginning of Mary Magdalene's story, she was a hot mess of a woman. She was not exactly what you would say is the perfect picture of what a woman is supposed to be. And at the beginning of Mary's story starts in Luke chapter 8, where we meet her for the first time. And Luke chapter 8 is listing these ladies, these women who were demon-possessed, and it lists these two or three women. Then we come to Mary Magdalene. It says, and Mary Magdalene was full of seven demons. See, the rest of the women doesn't give a number because it's assumed that they didn't have as many, that their problems and their baggage was not as much. But Mary had baggage. Mary had issues. Mary had problems. But you see, in a minute, Jesus walks into Mary's life, casts the demons out of her life, sets her free from her guilt and shame. You see that the place where Mary is from, Mary Magdalene, that's not her last name. How many of you thought that was her last name? It's okay if you did. Mary Magdalene, that's her last name. I'm sure some of you, you're like, I don't want to admit, but I really did think that was her last name. It's not her last name. That's actually where she's from. Magdala is the town where she is from, and that town was known for a town of prostitute women. We don't know if that's the lifestyle she lived, but in some Christian circles, that's what's believed about her, that she was a woman full of evil spirits and that she was some kind of prostitute of a woman. But one day, Jesus enters her life, and he sets her free. You see, she was walking in her guilt and shame, but Jesus set her free to live the life that he called her to. And then as we continue her life, anytime you see Mary Magdalene mentioned in the Bible, almost every single time she's the first name mentioned. When it's a list of women, unless Jesus' mom is there, because you always mention mom first, unless Jesus' mom is there, she's the first woman mentioned because she was a woman of influence and a woman who had a life change and a woman who did what God had called her to do. So when Jesus died on the cross and he was put in the tomb, in the garden tomb, it says there in John chapter 20, verse 1, it says, early on a Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. You see, Mary was there the day Jesus died. She watched them put him in the tomb. She watched them roll the stone. She was not embarrassed of her Jesus. She was not ashamed of her Jesus. She was not embarrassed that she would be called a follower of him. And the third day when she finally could come, she goes to the tomb and she finds that the stone had rolled away. And what did she do? But she ran and found Peter and John. Peter and John run to the tomb and they look and they see that Jesus is gone and they leave. But Mary stands outside that tomb. Verse 11, it says, Mary was standing outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she stood and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other sitting at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been laying. And the angel said to her, "Dear woman, why are you crying?" The angels asked her. She said, if you don't have this underlined in your Bible, and you have your Bible today, underline it. Because they have taken away my Lord. You see who he was to her? She didn't say the Lord. She didn't say they had taken away Jesus. She said they took away my Lord. My Savior. My God. My friend. They took away the person that changed my life forever. They took him away. And I don't know where they put him. She turned to leave and saw someone standing there, and it was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. Verse 15, it says, "Dear woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her, "Who are you looking for?" And she thought he was the gardener. This is the same gardener that was looking for Adam and Eve in Genesis 3. This is the same gardener that when Adam and Eve messed up, when Adam and Eve did their first sin, they had one sin under their belt. One. One of us, you know, I don't know about you in here, but I don't even have days where maybe if I'm like knocked out and sleeping, I have a day where maybe I have one sin. But man, by 10 in the morning, I've racked up at least 5 or 10. If I woke up at like 9:50, Adam and Eve had one sin under the belt. And that one sin put guilt and shame and made them hide from the gardener Jesus. Made them hide But look at this same gardener, Mary, who had the baggage. She had plenty of sin. She had a reputation. She was the woman full of demons. She was not the person you say you want to put as your poster child for Christianity. Oh, she's a Christian. Everybody be like her. And I was like, hey, don't talk to Mary. She was sort of crazy one day. I remember that day. But you see, she was not hiding. She was looking because forgiveness had set her free. Remember, shame will make you hide, but forgiveness will set you free. So in that freedom, she is looking for her Jesus. In that freedom, she is looking for her God. And she says to him, "Sir, if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him." Mary says, "I will carry Jesus. If you've hidden him somewhere, I'll carry him. I don't care how heavy he is. I know I'm little. It seems like an impossible job for me, but that's how much he means to me." You realize that's what she's offering to do right here? And then look at what happens. He says, "Mary." What a beautiful, beautiful thing. "Mary," Jesus said to her, and then she turned and cried, "Rabboni," teacher, my best friend, the person who's changed everything. That's the only word she could think of. The only person that said her name like that was Jesus. And in that moment of sorrow and grief and wanting to know where her Savior was, she meets him, and he doesn't say, "Mary, it's me." He doesn't get annoyed and say, "Mary, really right now? Come on, I'm right here. I have hands in my hand. I have nails in my hand. I have holes in my hands and feet right now. Come on, look at me. I'm shiny. I'm a glowing person right now. Come on, everybody else knows it's Jesus. Come on." He doesn't say that. He says, "Mary." In the way that only he could, he says, "Mary." And in that moment, she realized she was enough. In that moment, she realized that forgiveness and freedom from guilt and shame, that she was everything she was needed to be, and it was only in him. And she says, "Rabboni." And she clings to her Savior because she knows that he loves her. You see, there's two gardens in this story. One garden brought shame, but the better garden brought freedom. One garden prophesies that the child of a woman would be born and that he would crush the head of the serpent, but the better garden fulfilled the prophecy. One garden brought work, but the better garden brought grace. One garden brought turmoil, but the better garden brought peace. One garden expelled and kicked them out, but the better garden gave an invitation. One garden brought lack and insecurity, but the better garden gave fullness of life and satisfaction. One garden took life, but the better garden gave it. You see, Mary's story didn't start once upon a time there's this beautiful princess. Mary's story started once upon a time there's this woman who was demon-possessed by 7 demons. She was not exactly what mom and dad hoped she would turn out to be. That's how her story started. But her story ended. There was a woman who was loved and forgiven and set free by her Savior, by the one who knew her name. You see, Mary knew where she stood in the eyes of the only one that mattered. Her name was known by the only one worthy of knowing. She believed she was loved by the only one who truly could care. Her shame had been forgiven, and she had been set free. You see, Mary knew that the man in front of her wasn't just the gardener, but it was her Savior, who said, "Mary, you are complete. And what I think of you is the only thing that matters."
Thank you for joining us today. For up-to-date series information, find us on social media at CityViewPHX or go to cityviewphx.com.